Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Thursday, August 21st, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, a special operations team is shocked to be deployed in America. Then, would you trust your safety to a robot driver? And ISIS promises to kill more Westerners. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
But America knows the answer. Record gun purchases, people digging in. Anybody that's got a head on their shoulders is working to try to fix things politically.
Well, underscoring the importance of citizen journalists and alternative media is the fact that we now see, because they're on the site, we now see the tactics and the operation of the police there in Ferguson that we would not get from the mainstream media. Of course, I'm talking about, in particular, this video of Officer F Yourself that went viral, that we had the story on yesterday. He has now been suspended indefinitely. But look at the way that Reuters reports this. They say that he was suspended indefinitely on Wednesday. The incident, of course, just before midnight on Tuesday, they say no one was hurt in the gun-pointing confrontation. No one was hurt. So it's okay. We can just suspend him now because he was a little bit over the top. No, what he did was multiple accounts of criminal assault with a deadly weapon. That's what he did. He was threatening people verbally. He was threatening to shoot them and pointing a weapon at them. This is something that cannot be tolerated from people who are supposedly professionally trained. And yet, that very same day, on Tuesday, in the Washington Post, we had a man who is an instructor, a professor of Homeland Security at Colorado Tech University, an officer of the L.A. Police Department for 17 years, write an op-ed piece on the Washington Post, and here's the title, "I'm a Cop. If you don't want to get hurt, don't challenge me." That's his wording. And listen to what he says. He really doubled down on what this officer was doing. This officer basically didn't have much vocabulary except just F yourself while he's pointing a rifle at everybody. But where it really starts is with the trainers, the Homeland Security trainers at the universities, at the police academies, trained by the federal government for this new rules of engagement with the American citizens, treating them as if they are wartime enemies. Listen to what he says. He says, in the overwhelming majority of cases, it's not cops, but the people they stop who can prevent detentions from turning into tragedies. Really, see, the cops are never wrong. It's always you. Even if you're peacefully sleeping at home and a SWAT team breaks in, kicks down the door of your house, and then when you react, think it's a home invasion and shoot you, that's your fault. You shouldn't have tried to defend yourself. You should have known better. And he says, I can't tell you how many times I've withstood curses, screaming, tantrums, aggressive, and menacing encroachments on my safety zone. Menacing encroachments on my safety zone. Doesn't that describe what Officer F Yourself was doing? He was menacing people that were not doing anything. And of course, as I mentioned, that story would not get out if we didn't have people standing up for their free speech and their freedom of the press rights. And he says, of course, outright challenges to his authority. You don't have the authority to do that. You don't have the authority to commit criminal assault against people who are doing nothing but standing in a peaceful demonstration filming you. Now, this is what he says in his own words. Here is the bottom line. If you don't want to get shot, tased, pepper sprayed, struck with a baton, or thrown to the ground, just do what I tell you. I am the law. I am Judge Dredd. He didn't say that, but let's go back to his quote. That's essentially what he is saying. He says, don't argue with me. Don't call me names. Don't tell me that I can't stop you. Don't say I'm a racist pig. Don't threaten that you'll sue me or take away my badge. Don't scream at me that you pay my salary, which, of course, we do. And listen to this. He says, don't even think. And he emphasizes that with italics. He says, don't even think of aggressively walking toward me. There you go. Otherwise, he will shoot you, he will tase you, he will pepper spray you, he will throw you to the ground. Okay, now he says, however, you know, the moment a suspect submits and stops resisting, the officers must cease the use of force. Did that work out for Kelly Thomas? How many times have we seen people who are no threat to the police? As you look at this Rodney King beating, on and on and on, we see this pattern of behavior. We can't cover every one of these that happen. We would do nothing but cover that story if all we did was talk about the police beatings of people who are no longer a threat to the police and they continue to beat them mercilessly. Now, he says, later, you can ask for a supervisor. You can lodge a complaint. You can contact civil rights organizations if you think your rights were violated. That doesn't work if you're somebody like Kelly Thomas. They literally beat people to death. The shooting that happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where the homeless man was shot, and we have that in this loop of B-roll that's playing right now. The supervisor, right there, and that shot right there, the guy who was a supervisor of that police squad had previously tasered a homeless man and burnt off part of his ear as part of the tasering. The guy was awarded $300,000, but he mysteriously died on the day after the judgment was given. We cannot trust the police to police themselves is what the problem is, because this attitude starts with the trainers. It starts with Homeland Security. It starts with the people who are funding the police academy. And going back to New Mexico, after all of the shootings that are happening there in Albuquerque, and it's a record amount, that's where it is the highest per capita anywhere, even including places, big cities like New York. In New Mexico, the state police academy put up a shoot first curriculum that one of the instructors there resigned rather than teach. That's the kind of integrity we should have in the police department, where they purge that out, where they refuse to do things that are not their mission statement, that they do not have authority to do. And yet what we see are the kinds of attitudes from this officer, F yourself, and this Homeland Security instructor by the name of Sunil Dutta. Now, he says, an average cop is always concerned with his or her safety, tries to control every encounter. This is how we're trained. For you, this might be a simple traffic stop, but for me, each traffic stop is a potentially dangerous encounter. Show some more empathy for an officer's concern. Don't make our job more difficult than it already is. We should have pity for them. Where is the pity? Where is the concern? Where is the constraint against the American people? I don't see it. Now, if you want to get more comments about this, we have an article on InfoWars.com today from John Whitehead, the 10th Amendment Center. He starts out with this article, and then he goes to comment on that. He says, we're turning America into a war zone where we, the people, are the enemy. And, of course, that's coming from the federal government. And yet, it's troubling to see the people in Ferguson, Missouri, mostly liberal, many black, who see the federal government not as the source of this, but as their savior from it. That is not the case. The training, the attitude, everything is coming from the federal government. They are not the ones who are going to save you from this. They're just merely using this crisis. Now, we see a report today from a special operations contractors in Missouri. They say, we never guessed that we would deploy a high-threat team to our own city. This is Asymmetric Solutions, which is based just outside of Ferguson, Missouri. Now, of course, if you look at their site, they conflate in one of the main tabs there on their site. They have military slash law enforcement. In other words, they don't see much of a difference between military and law enforcement. And, of course, it's asymmetric solutions. Asymmetric terms essentially means that this is fighting a war, a counterinsurgency. That's what Staff Sergeant Joe Biggs and I showed you as we walked through the Asymmetric Warfare Center's training ground at AP Hill, Virginia. They are training in American cities. They are training that you are the counterinsurgents. You are the people that they are at war with. And, of course, these people, if they're in the know, they are not surprised that the same tactics that they point out, they've been to Baghdad, Kabul, Manila, Peshawar, Bogota. They never thought they would go to Ferguson, Missouri. Really? When they train for that? They have a facility to train law enforcement as well as the military in those precise techniques. So nobody is really surprised. They're just kind of blowing their horn, in my opinion. Now, we've seen them block our Facebook postings to videos of police brutality in Ferguson, Missouri. Social media has come down very hard on alternative media and on domestic reports of violence. And they've been very, very tolerant up to now of ISIS and other Islamist terrorist sites, letting them use social media freely without comment. Now they have censored it, and they're going even further. They're going after the viewers who try to pass these links out to people. Here's a report.
Twitter has announced that it's actively suspending accounts that share graphic images or footage of the alleged beheading of the American journalist James Foley. An online campaign was quickly launched calling for a blackout of the group, saying don't share video, give them nothing. YouTube has also repeatedly pulled the video down. British police have actually warned the public that just watching the James Foley video may be a criminal offense under terrorism legislation. And a journalist should not be committing an act of terrorism for merely viewing a video for investigative or reporting purposes. Of course, British authorities aren't going to pursue everyone who watches or disseminates the video, but threats combined with selective enforcement will set the pretext that governments can decide what information is off limits to the general public. ISIS has had great success on social media, easily sharing their graphic images and extremist ideology. Now, in one respect, it is important to deny this PR-savvy terror group the celebrity that they desire. But on the other hand, it is only through viewing these horrific acts that people will actually grasp the sheer terror that this group is capable of and committing on a daily basis. So why censor now? Twitter didn't remove any of the graphic images making the rounds for more than a year now of Christians, Iraqis, Syrians, soldiers, and others slaughtered by ISIS. And that's why censorship of the James Foley video is so concerning. In terms of brutality, the video pales in comparison to all the other gruesome images and videos that have been posted by this terrorist organization. Yet it is the James Foley video that Obama says shocks the consciousness of the world. Censoring the video creates a pretext that governments can declare any content whatsoever on the internet to be extremist in nature and therefore off limits to the general public. And recall that the government recently declared that liberty lovers and patriots and Tea Partiers were people holding extremist ideology. So are they setting the precedent that any political content posted by these groups could be censored? The video of this alleged murder is already being exploited by the state so it can ramp up reintervention in Iraq.
When people harm Americans anywhere, we do what's necessary to see that justice is done.
The United States and its partners will capitalize on popular outrage over ISIS, stepping up their bombing campaign using this video as a convenient and powerful propaganda tool.
And of course, it's increasing. Now, ISIS is abducting even more Westerners and promising even more beheadings. After not being able to get a war started in Syria using a sarin gas false flag, now they're finding it very effective to run these individual videos because, as Stalin pointed out, to paraphrase him essentially, one person's death is a tragedy, but of course a million people dying is just a statistic. So that's a very effective piece of propaganda to push the war. And whether it's real or whether it's staged, whatever is going on with this, our government is going to use this as an opportunity to get us into the war that they've been trying to get us into for quite some time in Syria. The Obama administration said the Pentagon has announced that they will continue attacking ISIS. And on Wednesday, Obama said that the U.S. would, quote, do what we must to protect our people. Really? Who are our people? Of course, there's been a lot of talk going on about intercommunication between ISIS and drug cartels, and we all know that the drug cartels and Al-Qaeda have been equipped, have been trained by the American government. It's an open secret. That's why they keep changing the name. In an article on InfoWars.com today, former CIA officer says ISIS and Mexican drug cartels are communicating. He's a former CIA officer, now a security consultant, who regularly appears on Fox News, told the Laura Ingraham Show on Thursday that ISIS and Mexican drug cartels communicate with each other. We've had good intel over the year about Al-Qaeda, he said, about their efforts to coordinate with, as an example, Mexican cartels in an effort to try to exploit our southern border. Well, it's well documented that the Central American drug cartels, as well as, I said, Al-Qaeda, are part of the drug trade that the CIA has created, has protected, has used American soldiers to guard, has used the CIA and people like Tosh Plumlee to distribute these drugs from Central and South America into the United States. Of course, going back to Oliver North and Reagan administration, the Iran-Contra affair, and of course, Gary Webb documented very completely the crack cocaine epidemic in L.A. with Freeway Ricky Ross and the involvement of the CIA before he was suicided. This is a long-standing story of how the CIA has run both Islamic terrorists as well as the drug cartels. And so you might ask, if we're going to do whatever it takes to protect the American people, wouldn't that start with protecting the American border? It's an obvious thing to say. And, of course, Rick Perry said the obvious today at the Heritage Foundation. He was speaking there about the Mexican border situation when someone asked him about the threat from ISIS. And he said, there's the obvious great concern that because of the condition of the border from the standpoint of it not being secure and us not knowing who's penetrating across, that individuals from ISIS or other terrorist states could be crossing the border. I think there's a very real possibility that they may have already used that. Of course there is. Of course there is. And when they say that they're going to now start a war in Syria, but they're going to leave our border wide open, they're going to start that war in Syria because they want to do everything to protect us. Obama is creating a low-hanging fruit option for the GOP in the presidential, in the next presidential election. And of course, one of the people that is poised to take advantage of that is Rick Perry. Perhaps that explains why they had this phony indictment. Of course, there are many things that he could have been indicted for, especially the Gardasil situation. Not only a violation of people's liberties and rights to make that an executive order that 12-year-olds would have to take a vaccine for a sexually transmitted disease, something that had documented problems with it, and of course, the ethical considerations of someone that had been chief in his staff, then being a drug rep for the only company that provided that vaccine that he was requiring by executive order, that clearly should have been investigated. That was given a pass. Yet they're coming after him for using his veto, and he was indicted just 2 days ago, and John Bowne has this report.
Governor Rick Perry was booked in the Travis County Jail today for two felony counts of abuse of power. All of this because he refused $7.5 million to the office of the Travis County DA after Rosemary Lemberg was caught driving under the influence back in 2013.
I'm
aware of who you are, ma'am.
I went to a friend's house tonight.
Okay.
Had a couple of drinks. I am not drunk.
Governor Perry spoke to the crowd for 5 minutes.
I'm here today because I believe in the rule of law. And I'm here today because I did the right thing. I'm going to enter this courthouse with my head held high, knowing the actions that I took were not only lawful and legal, but right. And if I had to do so, I would veto funding for the Public Integrity Unit again. You think any governor, Democrat or Republican, would expect this important unit with jurisdiction over state officials be led by someone who lives up to the highest standards of conduct and personal integrity. And this issue is far bigger than me. It's about the rule of law. It's about the Constitution that allows not just a governor, but every citizen to speak their mind free of political interference or legal intimidation. This indictment is nothing short of an attack on the constitutional powers of the office of governor. There are important fundamental issues at stake, and I will not allow this attack on our system of government to stand. I'm gonna fight this injustice with every fiber of my being. And we will prevail. And we'll prevail because we're standing for the rule of law.
Returning 10 minutes later to the crowd, Perry now faced a maximum penalty of 99 years in prison.
As required by law, I reported to the county authorities a few minutes ago, and I want to take a moment and just say thank you to the sheriff's deputies and for the great professionalism that they showed me just now. Let me be clear. It is our system of constitutional checks and balances that is being challenged here today. This prosecution would seek to erode the power of all Texas governors, Republican or Democrat, to veto legislation and funding that they deem inappropriate. It is a chilling restraint on the right of free speech. The actions that I took were lawful, they were legal, and they were proper. This indictment is fundamentally a political act that seeks to achieve at the courthouse what could not be achieved at the ballot box. But we don't resolve political disputes or policy differences by indictments. We don't criminalize political or policy disagreements. We will prevail. We will prevail. And we'll prevail because the rule of law will prevail. I remain focused on the work of the people of this state, doing the job I was elected to do, and I will not be distracted by these baseless political charges. Thank you, and God bless you.
John Barron for InfoWars.com.
The mission of my office is to see that justice is done.
Travis County's top prosecutor, the DA, driving while intoxicated.
Her blood alcohol level was nearly three times the legal limit.
She resisted during the pat-down, a spit mask placed over her head.
The cry is growing for her to step down.
She should resign without question.
DA Lindbergh has said she will not resign. Governor Perry vetoed funding of a specific group within the district attorney's office.
His actions are protected under Texas constitutional law.
I exercise this authority to veto funding for an office whose leadership had lost the public's confidence by acting inappropriately and unethically. I wholeheartedly and unequivocally stand behind my veto.
Well, stay with us. Right after the break, we're going to talk about self-driving cars, or it could say computer-driven cars, or robot cars. Are you going to have a car that essentially throws your life away in order to save the lives of five people in another car? There are going to be ethical trade-offs. We're going to talk about that right after the break.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the survival silver solution, the new InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver is the answer for you and your family. And it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. The InfoWars Life Silver Bullet Silver is so powerful that it is concentrated into a 2-ounce bottle and is not recommended for extended continual use. This is not a low-grade formula. We are working with one of the top laboratory manufacturers in the United States to bring you the best form of colloidal silver using electrical processes within a base of deionized water for your preparedness storage or your home kitchen. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com. Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, today there was a record settlement with the Bank of America by the government, a $17 billion fine. Now, Of that $17 billion, $9.65 billion will go to the government, to the federal government in various states. Seven of it will go to struggling consumers, as the Wall Street Journal points out. Now, this is really quite a deal for the Bank of America, because if you remember back to the TARP settlement, that was $700 billion. And, of course, that was the price of the irresponsible actions of Bank of America, of Countrywide, and many other banks. Now, of that $17 billion, notice that only $7 billion is going to go to consumers, as the Wall Street Journal points out. Just in perspective, it was originally $700 billion that taxpayers had to pay for what the banks had created. That was later reduced to a $500 billion hit against the taxpayers in the Dodd-Frank bill. Now, they go on to say, what was it that Bank of America was settling? Well, they knowingly provided credit to borrowers who could not afford loans, then sell those time-ticking bomb mortgages to unwitting investors. There you go, defrauding both sides of the ledger. In at least one instance, an underwriter at Bank of America made more than 40 attempts to win an accept rating from an internal Countrywide system that was known as CLUES, that would allow the Bank of America to make a loan according to a statement of facts signed by the U.S. and by Bank of America. Now, many of these were Countrywide issued mortgages that accrued to Bank of America, but of course Bank of America had its own issues in there. They say that in many cases they would say that when the loan would reset in 5 years, they knew there would be enormous payment shock and the borrower would not be sufficiently sophisticated to really understand the consequences. So the bank would then be dealing with a foreclosure in a potentially deflated real estate market. And that's exactly, as we all know, what happened. They defrauded the mortgage holders. They defrauded the people that they sold the mortgages to. And then when it all hit the fan, they defrauded the American taxpayer. And now here we are, years later, and they're going to get a fine of only $7 billion. I guess crime really does pay. Now, look what they're doing to our cars, of course. We have the projections that we're going to have self-driven or robotic cars or computer-driven cars in now less than 6 years. This is what it's going to look like. First, they're adding the monitoring, which is going to be used to get you out of your car. This article points out that the new Corvette will record every move that a valet driver makes. Now, it's not you that they really want to watch. It's really those bad valets that you turn your car over to. That's the way they're going to sell it to you. But listen to what they're putting into this option that you will be able to buy on your Corvette. They say, attention, valet drivers, don't get frisky with a 2015 Chevy Corvette. Big Brother is watching. General Motors is offering next year's model of the famous Sport Coupe with a data recorder that captures video, audio, and driving data from the vehicle when switched into a special quote-unquote valet mode. Now, they're going to record data like speed, engine RPM, and which gears have been used, the highest level of G-forces incurred. All of this because they're afraid that, you know, somebody might take your car on a joyride. They're also going to get a video from the point of view of the driver. Now, all this information that is going to be collected, quote-unquote, on your valet, that information, that kind of black box information, is eventually going to be turned over to the government to give you real-time tickets, or it's going to be turned over to the insurance company, or it's going to be used to make it so expensive to penalize people who are actually driving their cars, they will make it impossible for anyone to be able to drive their cars, because, of course, human drivers can't be trusted. Only human programmers can obviously be trusted. Now, Wired Magazine points out the inherent flaw with that. As I mentioned, in just 6 years, they're talking about having self-driving cars rapidly deployed into our society. The big hurdles are not technological, but legal. And of the legal hurdles, the biggest ones are liability. Have you thought about what's going to happen when there's an accident occurs? Because, of course, even though these things are sold to us as being perfect, as being flawless because they're coming from a computer, we all know the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. If it's got a bad programmer, anybody that's ever used any kind of computer knows that programs always come with flaws. When these flaws start to cause an accident, these vehicles are going to have to make a decision as to where they want to drive the car. Will they drive the car in a way that will spare the most number of lives? Will they arbitrage between the different cars and perhaps kill you in your car in order to save five people in another car that's coming at you? This is what they point out. They say that the manufacturer is going to now have a liability. Now, Wired Magazine points out where the liability comes from. It's an ethical conundrum here. They say it's generally better to harm fewer people than more, to have one person die instead of five. But the car manufacturer creates liability for itself in following that rule, as sensible as it may be. Swerving the car directly results in one person's death. That would be an act of killing. Had it done nothing, five people would have died, but you would have killed them and not the car manufacturer, which in that case would merely have let them die. In other words, the manufacturer assumes some level of responsibility, of liability, when they assume control of your car. So how are these manufacturers going to reduce their liability? Well, the author points out one of the things they could do is give you user-selectable ethics settings for your cars. So maybe what you might do is give preference to the number of people in each of the cars because they're going to know that kind of information. They're also working on V2V, in other words, vehicle-to-vehicle communications. So the cars are going to be talking to each other. They're going to be able to tell each other that in this one car over here, we have five people. In this other one, we only have one. The people in one car are younger than the other one, so that might be one of your ethics settings. That still doesn't take away their liability, but you start to get the idea of how dangerous it is to turn your cars over to robots, to computer software. Now, they come back and they make one final statement I want to cover, and they say, well, one thing that we could do is just limit the manufacturer's liability by law like we do for vaccine makers. That's right. Vaccine makers, they're saying, we need to have the vaccines. We know that they're essential for a healthy society. We know we need to have computers controlling our cars and not drivers. So what we do is we just exempt the large companies from having any liability at all. This is a very dangerous scenario. The idea that you will have no control over your car means that anyone, especially with vehicle-to-vehicle communication, a third party could hack in and drive your car into the wall. The government could do that. The government could just drive your car to the local FEMA camp if they wish. This is going to be computer-driven, government-controlled. It's going to be used to drive everyone out of their own cars, out of driving their own cars, out of taking responsibility and being able to control their own cars. You'll be put into these cars where the ethics settings are set maybe by you, maybe by the car manufacturer, but you won't even have a steering wheel or a brake. You will just be a passive passenger. That's the way the future is looking if we don't stop this. Of course, we can stop it. Well, stay with us right after the break. We have some special updates and special reports from our reporters in the field at Ferguson, Missouri. We'll be right back.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formulation, fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back. Now, our InfoWars crews are live at Ferguson, Missouri. They have reports. Of course, the National Guard is now leaving Ferguson. We have four reports coming up. That'll be one of them. The other one will be an interview with someone who's there talking about the impact that alternative media is having on the situation. And, of course, our reporter Joe Biggs is still getting harassed by the police. He'll have a report on that. And Ferguson 2014 is now the place for trendies to be seen on social media. Here are those reports.
This is Kit Daniels with Infowars.com here at the Martial Law Command Center in Ferguson, Missouri. Now, earlier today, the Missouri governor announced that he's going to start pulling out the National Guard from the area. And as you can see behind me, the National Guard's already doing just that. This is the latest in a series of de-escalation by the government after a law enforcement officer was caught on camera in Ferguson a couple of nights ago threatening to kill a journalist. The government is learning that it cannot suppress the First Amendment as much as it wants to. It cannot suppress the freedom of the press as much as it wants to. Because, frankly, the press is just going to fight back and resist, as all Americans should, against this kind of tyranny. Now, tune in to Infowars.com for more reports on this and more. Once again, this is Kit Daniels with Infowars.com.
Joe Biggs with Infowars.com in Ferguson, Missouri, day number 9. We just walked out on the streets, went from the McDonald's down to the QT a couple times. A little bit quieter mood, but, you know, there's one neat thing that's out here. There's quite a few people out here who are awake.
That's what it's about, equality. Don't try to tell me I can't execute somebody and get paid for 2 weeks, but you can. That is not equality. That is not justice. That is unfair tyranny.
You want to be a tyrant? It. Leave America.
Exactly. Go somewhere Speak, else.
Sister.
Go somewhere else. Because America is the home of the brave and the land of the free. We are free. Y'all might not want us to be free, but we are free. Your Constitution tells us that we are part of America.
Have you felt free the past couple weeks?
I felt more like a plantation slave than ever in my life. Being told I have to walk and I can't stop unless cameras are in front of my face. If I stop, I'm going to get arrested. If I congregate too long, the police are going to be so afraid that they're going to tear gas me. Really, I don't feel free at all. I feel like more of a prisoner and slave this past couple of weeks than I have ever felt any type of racism in America. Because they're showing me they don't care about me.
I don't feel free either. I feel a huge weight lifted over my shoulders now because I know change is coming.
It is coming. We're standing here for righteousness all over the world.
Do you feel like President Obama has upheld the Constitution and done everything you can for the American people thus far?
No.
I feel like he said he sent someone in today.
Have you seen change yet?
No.
I've seen change. I'm in a war zone. It was not a war zone 2 weeks ago. I've seen change. Instead of just letting them kill us, and we just go about our business, we said enough is enough. We can bear arms. It's not illegal in Missouri to carry your weapon. You're not doing anything criminal.
I had a gun.
They're doing something criminal. As a police officer, you're supposed to enforce the law. Forget the fraternal order of police. Forget the brotherhood. You should have been thinking about your family. And you should have said, I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm not going to be out here tear gassing people that's peacefully protesting, because that's not right. I'm going to set my war gear down. Because Barack Obama said, why am I looking on the TV at two different screens, Gaza and Ferguson, and I'm seeing the same thing? Why is that happening here in America when it's illegal? You can't use tear gas in war. So what are you using it here for? You don't know the law, but I know the law.
Yes, I will.
And I appreciate all the cameras out here watching you guys do your lawlessness, because we don't even have to say anything. We're just going to go to the Constitution, and we're going to show the Declaration of Independence, and we're going to show how you had no regard for it, and we're going to get rid of you. And then we're going to get righteous people that want to uphold what's right. We're tired of what's wrong. We're tired of you killing our kids. We're tired of being intimidated by you. Sitting out here in Hummers and all these military vehicles, this is freedom? That's not freedom. That's being a tyrant. That is intimidation. That is illegal. And you guys are supposed to uphold the law.
It was pretty peaceful mood tonight so far. I mean, the only people out here so far that I've seen that have any kind of attitude would be the police officers yet again. I'm parked back here. Here we go. See? Exactly like this. This is a police state, complete total martial law. These guys are out of the...
Vehicle's up here.
What's that? My vehicle's up here.
And your vehicle's on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Got it. Thank you. So,
they're not allowing anyone to stand still, stop, even if they're on the sidewalk.
And
y'all not like walking, this. We not walking. We with you.
It's never been
if,
like
if we
this.
We get gas, your ass is going to get gas too.
Well, I'm not here defeating or informing people of the tyranny that is in our backyard. I'm trying to awake as many people as possible as we are here, spreading truth and knowledge to Americans and people worldwide. Because this doesn't just affect America, this doesn't just affect Ferguson, Missouri, it affects everyone in the world.
They're treating us like animals.
Does it make you feel safer?
No, not at all. They're here to protect us. They're making us feel like we have to be scared. Looking back for police.
Once again, I'm Joe Biggs with our InfoWars crew in Ferguson, Missouri.
Joe Biggs here, InfoWars.com in Ferguson, Missouri. Yet again, day number 9. Tonight, the mood is a much more calmer, quiet mood. As you can see behind me, there's not as many people out here today, but there is still a very large police state happening. Just a second ago, we stood on the sidewalk over there, and we're getting ready to try to shoot this video. And the police came right up to us immediately, said, no, you can't be here. You have to continue to move around. You cannot stand still. Well, you know, I've done my time. I've done enough ruck marches in my life. I'm not going to sit around here and let these guys push me around. So we're just walking off to the side real quick to film something. I'm parked back here. Here we go. See? Exactly like this. This is a police state, complete, total martial law. These guys are out of their... My vehicle's up here. Okay. Got it. So here we go. These guys are just complete and total just bullies. Just complete. They just don't want the media to report on what's going on whatsoever. This is what it's like to live in a martial law state. Complete and total lawlessness. Joe Biggs here, Ferguson, Missouri, bring you updates as they happen. Thanks for watching. Joe Biggs, InfoWars.com in Ferguson, Missouri, bringing you another update out here on the streets about what's going on, what we're seeing out here, eyewitness accounts, what the entire InfoWars crew has been noticing. Now, it's going to be hard for you to understand this when I say this because it's completely and totally mind-blowing. This has turned into Trendyville. Apparently, it is popular, it's cool, it's hip to be in a police state. Now, just go ahead and sit there and take a moment for that to settle into your brain because I'm still having a hard time and I'm here watching it happen. These kids are walking around from suburbia areas, teenage girls with ski masks on their face, thinking it's cool to be out here hanging out. Meanwhile, past few nights, shootings, rioting, Molotov cocktails being thrown. This is not a cool thing to happen. This is the collapse of a town. This is a planned event. They're bringing in the police trying to control us, what we do. Stay tuned for more updates. I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
Well, that's our news for tonight. Thank you for joining us. Now, if you're not a Prison Planet subscriber, please consider contributing to the organization. It helps to pay for us sending those reporters to places like Ferguson to get the live reports that really have affected change. Just as we began the news, showing that officer who was committing multiple assaults with a deadly weapon. Now that that's been exposed, he's at least been put on indefinite suspension. Maybe criminal charges won't be placed, but it does have an effect. Now, if you become a Prison Planet TV subscriber, you can share that with up to 11 other people. You can all watch simultaneously at the same time. And, of course, all of Alex Jones's documentaries are available as well. Well, that's it for tonight. Join us tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. And now you can protect yourself from corrupt cops with the InfoWars dash cam. It's your car's black box that records all that the driver sees and hears. And introducing the Blockit Pocket. It renders your phone undetectable while protecting your private data and your health. or take back your privacy and protect your personal information by getting your very own Detractor cell phone pouch. So get incredibly high-quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.